Well, this part of the lectionary, or this part of the church year, the lectionary has us in the book of Ephesians for the next little while, and I thought we would spend some time in this book. It's an interesting one. It's got all kinds of fun little textual things that I could bore you with for uncounted hours, none of which I will try to do. Might be interesting to you, but it's not a risk I particularly want to take. And there's things in this text that are far more interesting than that, actually, that are very much accessible to all of us. And Ephesians breaks into a couple of pieces, sort of two halves. And the first half that we just got the very beginning of is got some of Paul's really interesting writing. As I've mentioned before, what Gene read for us this morning, Ephesians 3 to 14, in Greek is a single sentence, which is unusual for Paul. And one of the commentators I was reading said that this passage is more a lyric expression of the wonder of God than Paul's usual reasoned statements. I mean, Paul tends to build arguments in quite straightforward ways, but this one is anything but. And at least some people think it's almost a doxology. It's almost a hymn. Like you could almost sing it. And then when I was looking through it, the thing that struck me, as it perhaps did you as you were listening, are all these blessings that we see and hear. And the Bible is filled with blessings that are specific to individual people, and specific to the nation of Israel, and lots of them are specific to all of the created order, to us. And that's where the sermon title came from, just still more blessings. And so as I was looking through, I started checking them off and began to see that this one extended song of wonder has a very interesting, not so much a structure, but it goes somewhere. It's not just a list. It's not just a random list of blessings that we have. But it begins more or less at the beginning. It takes us somewhere because it begins where Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." That first verse is enough to be an encouragement to us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But Paul doesn't leave us there. He then goes on to give us some idea of what at least some of these spiritual blessings are. And it begins with that God chose us. Being chosen is a wonderful thing. We like it when people choose us to be on their team, when they choose us to go for coffee with them or just to chat with. It affirms our value. It makes us feel good when somebody chooses us. And that's just other human beings. That's going back to when we're in the playground, when we're, as children, we're being chosen to play football or baseball. If that made us feel good, how much more so that God has chosen us. Yes, God loves all things, and God is, in fact, love itself. But even in that, he chose us. He didn't choose us, all this great mass of humanity. He chose me as an individual. He chose each of us because we're worth it. And he chose us and gave us this tremendous option to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, holy might be something that is just too big for us to aspire to, perhaps. Perhaps it's one of those things that we don't really know what that means, and there's all kinds of technical things we could go into. But we do know what blameless means. We know what it means to be blamed, whether we deserve it or not, and I don't know anybody who enjoys being blamed. God chose us, even before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. This doesn't mean that he ignores everything. It's not saying that as soon as God chooses us, he becomes blind to anything that we do wrong. We'll see as we continue through this text. But it gives us that idea that we have that potential to be blameless before God. What a wonderful notion. To be able to face a holy God, the one who came up with everything that is, and not be guilty. And it goes on to say that we've been adopted as his children. I haven't adopted children, and I'm not an adopted child myself, but I certainly know people who have adopted children, and I know those who have been adopted. And it's a profound thing to be chosen as a child by someone, to be moved into a family as if you'd always been there. And what Paul reminds us is that that's the relationship we have with God. It's not that of simply a supplicant to a Lord. It's not that of an employee to an employer or a slave to a master. It's the same relationship that I have with my daughters, that I had with my mother and father. He goes on to say, and this is where we pick up on that blameless bit earlier, that in him, that's in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Not only were we chosen, not only were we chosen to at least potentially be holy and blameless, not only were we brought in as children, but God himself provided the means for which we might be redeemed. We might move into that blameless thing. Because in Jesus we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So we see the movement of this passage. It takes us from this huge idea of being chosen to be made holy and blameless, to being adopted, to being forgiven. So whatever we brought with us from the beginning is taken care of. When we prayed the prayer of confession today, that's a reminder that forgiveness is always available to us. And it's forgiveness that allows us to be holy and blameless before God. And in a sense, that would be enough for us. But Paul goes on, because we're now in this state, or at least this potential state of being holy and blameless, of being forgiven, of having been adopted in. And that's a glorious thing. And then Paul goes on, but he even made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. And if we drop down a couple of verses, it says, we were also chosen according to the plan of him who works out everything. So not only were we chosen, adopted, forgiven, redeemed, now we've even been given something to do. That there's a plan for us, that we're not just here to take up space and to take up time until the end of all things, whether it's our own personal end or until God comes back, whatever that looks like, and takes us to him, and then everything is perfect that way. We have things to do now. I've said before that very few people are created or able to be actually idle, to spend all day, every day doing nothing. Honestly, I've never met anybody who could manage that. We all want to do things. Sometimes our job and what we want to do overlap, and that's wonderful, and then we enjoy going to work in a different way. But sometimes we work so that we can do the things that we want to do. We all have things we want to do, whether they're hobbies, whether they're careers. We want to be at things and about things. And those things that give us tremendous joy and that deep sense of fulfillment, that's part of God's plan for us. You occasionally run across people who don't really understand what it means to be in a relationship with God through Jesus, and they think that sort of the perfect world would be sort of sitting around pondering God all day. And while I suppose there are some people who would find that, well, okay, I just find it impossibly dreary, and that's just me, I suppose. But then again, most of us want to be doing things. And most of us want to be doing things for and with other people. In the same way that hardly anybody is able to be completely idle, I've never met anybody who's completely selfish either. All of us get tremendous satisfaction from helping each other, from working side by side with others, from being in relationship with others. And this is part of what this great river of blessing is that there's a plan for us to be useful while we're here, to our families and friends, to strangers, to our society, to the world in general. Because Paul goes on in other places in Ephesians to talk about how we were created to do good works. We were created to do good things. We feel satisfied when we've accomplished something worthwhile, even when it's hard work. There's something about it that feeds our soul in a way that nothing else does. And Paul reminds us that that's part of the plan that God has for all of us. And then if we're wondering how we're actually going to do any of this or all of this, we drop down in verse 13. We see, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We were chosen, we were adopted. We have this deep sense of value that comes from that. We've been given things to do. There's a plan for us. It's not just a random life where we do whatever comes to mind. And then, just to make sure that this all works, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as well. When Jesus left, when he left this physical world and that physical body that he had for those 33 or so years, he said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not just leaving you on your own. I'm leaving the Holy Spirit who will be with you and in you, giving you strength and encouragement, providing the energy and the direction and the guidance that you need. And I look at this list of spiritual blessings, and it moves in this wonderful way from as big as it can be to me as an individual. And even as it moves from there to there, it moves me and reminds me that I haven't been left alone. That Jesus coming here to this earth a long time ago wasn't something that just happened a long time ago. And it's an interesting historical discussion, just like talking about Plato or Napoleon. No, there's so much more to it than that. That Jesus came to give evidence of how valuable human beings were, that God would be willing to leave behind some of his glory and some of his abilities, some of his attributes, to live like us, so we would always know that God understands us. And then when he left the Holy Spirit behind, that we might be able to accomplish what it is that we've been called to do. And even more than that, the Holy Spirit, that inner sense of God, as well as those outworkings of our spiritual gifts that all of us have. The existence of the Holy Spirit, that in a deep sense is undeniable to us, isn't just those things I've mentioned before, but is also a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession. When we see the Holy Spirit at work through us, when we feel that sense of energy that comes when a group of us come together to accomplish what God wants us to do, and suddenly we do more than we'd ever been able to do before. That realization isn't just that we can accomplish what we need to do, but it's a reminder that God will at some point make all things right, make all things whole, will redeem us fully and absolutely. The Holy Spirit isn't just this impersonal energy, isn't just a thing, it's a person. And this person is, among all those other things, a guarantee, a deposit for the inheritance that we'll all have. I love this passage of Scripture. I've tried to memorize it, but my memory and memorization just don't work the way they did when I was younger. And every time I come to it, I find something new. And it was this time when I came back to this passage, because for those who've been here for these last few years with me know I've preached through these verses before. This is the first time I really noticed the shape of the movement, of how Paul reminds us that God begins with everything, but it ends with us as people. As individuals. That the blessings of God, while they're certainly provided for all of the created order, are also as individual to us as our own names. still more blessings in this passage, and I'm sure I'll find more the next time I'm here. But I think these are enough to remind us again of how much God loves us, of how intimately connected he is with us, of how valuable we are that he would send his son, that he in human form would be among us. And I look at these blessings and I think, how have I ever thought I needed more? As this list of what God has done for us covers so much. I trust that this reminder will be a blessing to us all of how much we are blessed, how much we have been blessed, and how much we will be blessed, because there still are more blessings. Amen.